You're listening to Issues and Ideas from Public Radio KCBX. I'm Jordan Bell. Well, it hasn't been long since the end of the UN Climate Summit in Paris. Just last month were the world's leaders eventually drafted some broad goals for curbing the effects of climate change on the world's nations. One of those goals is to pursue transformation towards sustainable development with some specific parameters in that goal. And joining us today is Philip Warburg. He's written extensively on harnessing the sun to power our world. His latest book, Harness the Sun, America's Quest for a Solar-Powered Future, focuses for a large part on California as the state leads the nation in solar energy. He will be speaking at UC Santa Barbara on January 19th to discuss his book. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Great to be on your show.
Now, why is the state of California unique when it comes to the solar energy process?
Well, I think it's first that you've got some great political leadership that has shown consistent vision in advancing renewable energy over the past decade or more. Your statewide renewable portfolio standard requires 50% of all retail electricity to come from renewable sources by 2030. So that's a great overall driver. And there are a variety of other state programs that really bring solar not just to those who can afford it, but to lower-income communities as well. And then there are programs at the local level that also are really showing remarkable leadership in advancing solar energy, and not just in progressive enclaves such as, for example, Marin County, but in pretty conservative cities like Lancaster, not so far from you, where a number of initiatives have moved forward, including the requirement that every new residential unit must have solar capacity on-site or off-site to help lighten the carbon load of that household. So you're seeing a variety of initiatives at various levels that are really doing a great job of moving solar energy forward.
Mm-hmm. And our governor, Jerry Brown, attended the climate talks in Paris. And can you talk about California's role on a global scale?
Well, clearly, California is a leading global economy. So what California does is really, I think, setting a great example for nations, not just other states. And I think one of the things that's important to recognize about solar energy is that it isn't just a valuable energy resource in states such as California, which we think of as, well, you know, a sun-blessed state. I live in chilly Newton, Massachusetts. Today, the temperature started out at 11 degrees, and now we're up to a 23 degrees. Solar energy, specifically photovoltaics, work very well in cold weather as well as warm weather. In fact, photovoltaics work better in cold weather. So as long as we have sunlight here in Massachusetts, we get a lot of great solar power, such as we generate on our home's rooftop here in Newton, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. So the whole idea of California being the sunny state that it is sort of a misconception when it comes to the implementation of solar energy.
California is vitally important, not just in terms of the work that it is doing to advance solar energy and what that will do for the California economy, but it's also very important in helping move America toward a leadership position in addressing the challenge of climate change. If we are going to reach the aim that was set in Paris of keeping our global temperatures on average to no more than 2 degrees Celsius or 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels, we're going to have to take a variety of steps in the power sector, in the transportation sector, in the building sector, to make sure that we really trim our carbon emissions. And solar energy can play a vital role in that regard, and California is really doing some very important efforts to move that forward.
Right. And I wonder, with California's, you know, independent tech industry, that being a huge portion of our California economy, can you talk a bit about California technology as it relates to sustainable development and solar innovation?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of innovations in the solar area. Photovoltaics today are vastly advanced from what they were 20, 30 years ago. The price has come way down. Back in the 70s, it cost about $101 per watt of installed solar capacity. Today, we're down around 73 cents. So that's a pretty dramatic change. And we're seeing the efficiencies of photovoltaics go up quite dramatically, and new innovations are coming out that will hopefully allow us to substantially increase the efficiency of photovoltaics even beyond what they're showing today. You also have a number of California corporations that are making great strides in moving solar power forward. One of those companies, SunPower, has developed a very large solar project not so far from you in San Luis Obispo County on the Carrizo Plain. It's called the California Valley Solar Ranch, and it generates enough electricity for about 100,000 California households today. And what's important about that project, I think, is that the developers of that project, working together with environmental groups and regulators, has been very careful to address wildlife protection concerns as they've developed that solar ranch. So when they were constructing the project, they were very careful to relocate San Joaquin kit fox and giant kangaroo rats that were on the site. They've allowed those species to re-inhabit the site now that the facility is complete. They also set aside some 12,000 acres in permanent conservation land. So they were really looking out for the ecosystem locally, as well as addressing the challenge of reducing the greenhouse gas emissions of California's power generating sector.
If you're just joining us right now on Issues and Ideas, we're speaking with Philip Warburg. His new book is Harness the Sun, America's Quest for the Solar-Powered Future. He's speaking at UC Santa Barbara on January 19th. And I want to talk about some of the challenges for the solar industry in California. And as an example, we recently did a story about local solar installation projects and how they're growing in popularity on the Central Coast, in San Luis Obispo County and in northern Santa Barbara County alone. There are now nearly 10,000 solar customers, and some of that incentive is bill reduction as a result of net metering. And for those who don't know, that's where excess solar power is fed back to the utility for a credit. And that's currently an issue before the state's Public Utilities Commission. Energy companies like PG&E and Southern California Edison argue solar customers are getting the advantages of the state's power grid without paying their fair share for the expansion and upkeep. So what's fair in a situation like this, considering the perspective of, you know, what's needed for solar, the future of solar?
Well, I think net metering is one of the very important policy innovations that have allowed solar power to move forward. What it allows homeowners to do is produce electricity anytime that the sun is out, whether or not they need to use that electricity at that moment. And the ability to essentially sell their surplus power to their utilities is a very important piece of that puzzle. There are lots and lots of debates about what the exact value is per kilowatt hour generated by household scale or commercial solar units, and we're seeing that debate play out in 20 or more states now. I think that it's very important to consider both the carbon impacts of those solar installations when thinking about the overall economic valuation of what that household scale, that distributed solar power can provide to us. So I think we're going to be seeing that debate play out across the country in the years to come. Solar power is a very new technology, so the policy signals are being worked out as we go along, and there will be some rough and tumble, I think, in the years ahead as we refine the instruments that are now in place. But net metering is a very, very important piece of the puzzle. I want to mention one other corner of solar power that I think is very important that is being developed in California, and it's being developed across the country, and that is brownfield solar energy. There are a good number of what we could call greenfield solar projects, such as the California Valley Solar Ranch that I mentioned. But there are also solar projects that are being built on industrial lands, on former landfill sites. The U.S. EPA has estimated that if we were to tap all of the solar potential on America's brownfields today, we could be getting three times our total power needs from the sun. And one example of brownfield solar development is happening east of Sacramento at the Aerojet Rocketdyne facility, a facility that has generated rocket propulsion systems over many decades and has created a very, very serious groundwater pollution problem in the area. They have installed a solar array on a portion of their land out east of Sacramento that generates about a fifth of the power that's now needed for the groundwater remediation effort, which is so important to restoring water quality in that area. There are dozens of projects like that in California and hundreds of projects like that across the country.
Now, can you talk about some of the other challenges that California may face, the California solar industry may face in the coming years?
I think that there clearly is a question of where we should be manufacturing our solar equipment, and there's a vigorous competition on the global scale as to where solar panels can be produced most economically. The Chinese have been playing a very, very active role in that regard. And so I think one of the questions is going to be, what is the niche for developing solar technology in California as opposed to importing it from overseas? I think we'll be seeing that play out in the years to come. There are some new entrants into the solar manufacturing scene, but that's an area where more is being developed abroad today than is being produced, certainly in California. I think that where we're going to see a lot of the real innovation is, again, in the policy signals that are being given, not just at the state level, but at the local level, so that there are various players that can really begin to accelerate our solar adoption on a whole variety of scales in your state.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the opportunities here now for everyday people, homeowners, business owners in the state of California? How can they utilize solar?
Well, rooftop solar potential is huge. And again, California is moving forward pretty dramatically in that area. Again, going to some national surveys, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory estimates that we could be getting about a fifth of our total power needs from rooftop solar alone, and that is both residential and commercial rooftop solar. So while California has certainly developed major inroads in this area, there's a lot more that can be done in placing solar arrays on our rooftops and on your rooftops. And part of that will be accelerated by local mandates, for example, that require that new building construction either incorporate solar technology or be adaptable to solar technology. And that can have to do with the way the rooftops are oriented so that they can capture the sun in the south or the west, depending upon what the orientation seems optimal. Again, the right kinds of local signals in terms of incentives. For example, there are ways to provide solar loans to homeowners and businesses that can make it a lot easier to bear the upfront costs of solar. A very important catalyst to solar development in California is the use of third-party solar, where a homeowner or a business owner signs what's called a power purchase agreement with a company that retains ownership of the facility that is placed on the residential or commercial rooftop. And then buys the power from that unit rather than owning the system itself. So that allows people to take advantage of solar power without bearing any upfront cost. Another approach that's very important is what's called community solar or shared solar, whereby homeowners or renters that can't take advantage of the sun on their properties can buy shares in off-site solar and derive the same kinds of benefits as if they were generating that solar power on their rooftops.
Oh, that's really interesting. Now, is there some sort of threshold that that needs to be met in order for solar to be much more accessible to all kinds of people, whether their socioeconomic class puts them in a place where they could afford it or not? Is there some sort of threshold that at some point we buy enough solar energy to make it accessible for everyone?
Well, this is another area where California has really shown leadership. The California Public Utility Commission has required that the three big investor-owned utilities invest about $300 million over 10 years in affordable solar housing. And I visited one of those installations out in California in the Bayview district of San Francisco not so long ago. And what this program does is it sends in volunteer crews that install solar power on low-income homes, providing a very important benefit in terms of reducing to nearly nothing electric bills for those households, at the same time providing a great benefit to all of us in reducing the carbon footprint of those homes. So a lot of homes will be benefiting from that system in the coming years, already have benefited from that system. It's implemented by a nonprofit called Grid Alternatives, and it really is setting a great example for the nation in how to bring solar to a broader segment of the population than those who can afford to install those systems themselves or have a credit rating that allows them to take advantage of, for example, the third-party power purchase agreements that I just mentioned.
That's Philip Warburg. His new book is Harness the Sun, America's Quest for a Solar-Powered Future. He will be at UC Santa Barbara on January 19th to discuss the book. Philip Warburg, thank you so much for joining us today on Issues and Ideas. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure as well.
And for Issues and Ideas, I'm Jordan Bell.